You are listening to Hillary Topper On Air, the small business podcast to help you grow both personally and professionally. And now, here's your host, Hillary Topper.
We have a profound connection with the element calcium. It binds us, resides within us, and surrounds us. I'm Hillary Topper, and this is Hillary Topper On Air. Today, I have the great pleasure of speaking with Corinne Newville, architectural designer, artist, and author of The Indiscernible Elements, Calcium. Welcome to the show, Corinne.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
In your book, you explore how calcium connects us. Can you elaborate on this concept and how you perceive the profound connection between calcium and our existence?
Yeah. In Indiscernible Elements, Calcium, the book is from the perspective of calcium. And calcium takes us on a journey through poems and illustrations of showing how humans, the built environment and the earth are all connected. And it really got my attention because calcium can offer a way of showing this cycle. And that cycle being that we take calcium from limestone and we turn it into concrete and drywall products. But that same element that's within that limestone is the same element that's in our bodies, that's within many, if not all, living organisms. And it makes up part of the Earth's core as well.
Very interesting. So it is a unique element to choose as a focal point for your book, right? What inspired you to select calcium and delve into its significance in architecture and in our lives?
So I was exploring funeral practices, actually. It was my thesis for my master's of architecture. And, you know, I was really frustrated with learning about funeral practices and funeral home design because it seemed that nothing has changed over the years. And it got me to thinking, what happens once when the deceased is put into the ground? And I was at this point in my thesis that I couldn't come up with anything new. You know, I was stuck. So I went back to the basics and it's like, okay, what happens when, you know, the body's put in the ground? What goes on? So then that led me to exploring what our body is made up of, which brought me to calcium, and that's how I was able to connect it to all of these other aspects.
Interesting. Can you share the journey that led you to create this captivating book? You know, and some perspective and insights for the readers.
Yeah. Well, when I was in school, so this was my third year of my master's, and I was kind of picking between a realistic project and a more fun project, fun to me. And so I went down this route of, you know, exploring this story from the perspective of calcium. And when I finished with my thesis, it was only 5 drawings. And now, 4 years later, it is now the book that you see today. And I spent a lot more time, you know, coming up with what it would be like and trying to really create that calcium perspective and narrative. And honestly, the hardest part for me was the actual writing. So I, when I was writing, I was actually on a whitewater rafting trip on the Green River, and this is like a 5-day trek, and I was having a really hard time writing. So I started writing in the dark. So you raft and then you stay overnight, you pull over and raft, and same thing for 5 days. And so I just started writing in the dark, and that's when I was able to create this calcium voice that, to me, it was then trying to, you know, get something out, but didn't know how to describe it. And that's where the slow reading and poetic side comes from the book.
Very, very cool. Now, as we spend more time indoors, how do you believe this affects the outdoor world and the relationship with it? How can our living spaces impact the environment beyond the physical boundaries?
So as we've learned through our experience with COVID, everyone inside all the time, you know, you really start to, or for a lot of people, I think we all started to realize how important our homes are and how much our, you know, our living situation affects our mental health, our physical health. Are you happy to be in your space? You know, and that's what I'm passionate about, is this architecture and wellness, and what products are we putting into our homes, and how are they psychologically affecting us, and are they making us happier and living a better life? And, you know, it's this kind of like, right now it's this catch 22 with climate change, that what we're doing for our indoor quality is affecting our outdoor quality. And by that, I mean, we spend a lot of effort putting in to make ourselves very comfortable on the inside, but what's happening is it's forcing this climate change on the outside.
Wow, that's crazy, right? Before we move on, I have to say, I am so appreciative of our sponsors and must take the time out to thank them. Please support our sponsors and tell them that you heard about them on Hillary Topper on Air. Special thanks to the Bogalis Law Group, a law firm representing plaintiffs in medical malpractice action, and the Russo Law Group, PC, Long Island Signature, Elder Law, Special Needs, and Estate Planning Law Firm. Now back to you, Corin. So you challenge the notion of being comfortable in our living spaces, advocating for a different approach. Why do you believe that people should be less comfortable? And what benefits can come from stepping outside of our comfort zone in homes, office buildings, and even cars?
So, you know, like you said, we spend a lot of time and effort to being comfortable, and that's what's affecting our outside world. And I truly believe that in the future, we are going to have to start adapting, and our world is changing, and it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit. And I would say it already is, you know, with these natural disasters, higher heat temperatures, and there are companies, you know, trying to switch to electric cars and make these changes for us that's going to better our future. And it's not going to be a joyride the whole time. It's not going to be an easy transition, but we are adaptable. And that's what we have to work on, is, you know, making our habits different, and because that's what we need to do for the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So are there companies or architectural firms that you admire for their innovative approaches to creating spaces and environments? And can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I live in Driggs, Idaho, which is on the backside of the Tetons from Jackson, Wyoming. There's two firms here that I absolutely love. There's a few around the US, but one is called Love Shack, and they do all passive home design. And what that means is you're designing a home for a specific site, and you're really putting a lot of research into how the environment is affecting that home. What are the sun paths, the wind paths? How can we insulate this home so we save energy costs? And then the other one that I really love is Via Iconica, and they're located in Jackson. And they're all about architecture and wellness. So they do a lot of research in what materials affect our moods, what are toxic, what are we breathing in that has later effects. And they do amazing work with interior design as well as architecture.
You know, what's so interesting to me is that this is such a different field than the typical architectural firm. I mean, you just never hear about this. And it's so important.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
I mean, what made you like go into this field? I mean, what was your passion and drive behind this whole thing?
Yeah, the moment I decided I want to be an architect was in 2013. I was in Italy, in Florence. And I was just so mesmerized by all the history and how beautiful it was and, you know, pasta. But that's the moment I was like, okay, I'm going to go home and apply for architecture school. And at that time, I was a sophomore in college. But I was just doing my generals through community college at the time. So I applied to the architecture university. And that's what really started down the road. And then it wasn't until grad school when we had more freedom in our assignments. And that's when we got to explore, you know, environmental racism and how architecture in the built environment has such an impact on people's lives. And you don't even realize it because it's everywhere, but it's amazing how much bad things have happened intentionally through architecture to basically control people. And so that's as in urban planning. With urban planning, you know, we have environmental racism with redlining, and that means like specifically putting a highway through a low-income neighborhood so that they are dispersed. And these kind of explorations is what more led me to the sustainability aspect that, you know, it's really important for our future. And if we can provide this kind of level of design to everyone, and how, what a positive impact it will have.
You know, this leads me to my next question about environmental racism. Can you explain what that is for some of our listeners who may not know? And can you talk about the impact of environmental racism and its connection to urban planning and architecture?
Yes. So when I was talking about redlining, the first example that I came across or learned about was in Chicago, which is where I went to school. Mm-hmm. And that highway, specifically that runs straight through Chicago, you know, was planned to break up these neighborhoods to displace people. And so they, instead of putting this highway through higher income neighborhoods, they specifically chose neighborhoods that were low income. And with that, they also took away a train that it was part of the Green Line in Chicago that would go all the way to the south side of Chicago. And they took that away in that aspect. Another example is in Louisiana, and they call it Cancer Alley. And that's because specifically this neighborhood was already existing, and they put all of these power plants and garbage next to these neighborhoods. And now they call it Cancer Alley because everyone that's lived there, or mostly everyone, has had some sort of cancer, especially to do with lungs, or they have asthma or allergies. And And it's unfortunately planned, you know, to disperse these people.
Wow. That is very heavy. And I'm sure a lot of people don't know about that. So thank you for sharing that. So looking ahead, how do you envision the future of architecture? And are there any emerging trends or advancements that excite you and offer potential, you know, solutions to some of these challenges that we face?
There's a few tech companies that actually are using calcium. It's interesting. They use calcium as a filter to purify, or not purify, I guess. They take out the carbon from the building's carbon footprint and to make it net zero. So to explain this a little bit, there's a way to do your drywall. It's called lime wash. And when you do lime wash, what happens when it's wet, you put it on when it's wet, and then as it dries, it actually takes the carbon from the air. So it gets stuck into your wall, into your lawn. Mm-hmm. So they're using this as a way of filtering the CO2 emissions from the mechanical systems of these large buildings. So that's something that I've been really excited about lately.
Wow. That's that's crazy. That's really, really cool. Really cool stuff. So what projects, you know, in addition to that, that we were just talking about with the drywalls, or ideas are you currently working on for the future? And can we expect more books from you?
Oh, yes. I have big plans.
Let's hear them.
I'd like to keep exploring different elements and as a way to talk about the environment. And I hope, right now I'm studying for my license exams for to become an architect, and I work at a construction company. So I have a little time left before I'm an official architect, but that's when I'll really start diving into exploring and I guess making changes that I'd like to see.
So cool. I mean, this is just something that's I've just never been a part of, and hearing the story from you has been so incredibly inspiring. So thank you. Can you tell people how they can get in touch with you and order a copy of your book?
Yeah, you can order it off Amazon, or if you'd like to support a small company, it's called the Black Hat Press. They're a little publisher in Minnesota. And my name is Corinne Newville. The book is Indiscernible Elements Calcium. And you can find me on Instagram at Cornville, which is Cornville.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Corinne, for being on the show. I'd also like to thank our sponsors once more, the Pagalis Law Group, a law firm specializing in plaintiffs in medical malpractice, and the Russo Law Group, PC, which is Long Island signature elder law, special needs, and estate planning law firm. If you want to get in touch with the Russo Law Group, go to vjrussolaw.com. If you want to get in touch with the Pagalis Law Group, go to pagalislaw.com. And last but not least, I want to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. If you want more information on this show, and we'll put Corinne's book and all the information on the blog site so you could just, you know, check it out. But if you want to know more about this, you can go to hillarytopper.com, or you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Alexa, you name it, we're out there. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.